This week, as I was thinking about all the possibilities of what we can fear, I began thinking about phobias, and I was wondering how many there are. And so you can quickly Google that. And the first option that popped up gave the top 100 phobias that people can experience and have in life. And so many of those we know, with, you know, spiders and snakes and the dark and some regular things, but the list goes on and on. The next site that I found, 530 named phobias. But they said the reality is there can just be an unending number, because we can fear anything and everything, anyone. We can just have any type of fear, and so the list is just continuous, on and on. And some days that is exactly how it feels. There is just so much coming at us from different directions and different parts of life. It seems like there is so much that can cause fear to just well up within us. Last week we faced the fears of the world, what you might call external fears: school and public shootings, political unrest, financial instability, natural disasters, one we've already spoken of this morning. There's hatred and division. And I was thankful, though, in the midst of talking about those things and facing them, that we have these promises found in Scripture. Like that says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Or from Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? So every time we get thrown something new, or maybe something that repeatedly comes at us, we have these scriptures, these words from God, these promises that we can hold on to. And words that hopefully for us are easy enough to memorize: our refuge and strength, our refuge and strength, our light and our salvation. Those are words that can be our response as the fears come our way. God's word is here for us in the midst of the fear, so that we can live unafraid, so that we can have that courage and hope. And through our living courageously and hopefully, that then the world will know of God and his presence in their lives. The world, though, is not the only thing communicating statements of fear to us. Sometimes they come from within us, don't they? We bring up within ourselves feelings of fear and worry and anxiety. Statements with words that are words of defeat, that allow that fear and worry to build up within us. Maybe statements like, well, my life is okay, but there's nothing really remarkable about it. I don't really have anything to offer. I haven't really accomplished anything. I'm not sure if I ever will. So I don't even think I will try to do anything or be anyone of significance. I just can't make it happen. That's a great idea. You know, but there's no way I would try. You know, I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail my friends or my coworkers, my parents. What will they think if I just totally flopped? Would they laugh at me? Would they think I was a quack for even trying, for thinking that I could accomplish something? Or maybe if I had a friend, I'd give it a try with them. But I'm just feeling like I'm alone in this. You see, we have this bad habit of telling ourselves things like this. We send ourselves messages of rejection and incompetence, of inability, of uselessness. They bubble up within us, then, fear and anxiety that basically paralyzes us. It stops us in our tracks. It might even keep us from even trying something new. And those messages of rejection and incompetence, inability, uselessness, they just aren't true. Last week at the 11:20 service, we sang a song. It's fairly new, a new song. Maybe some of you have heard it. But it says, "Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar." These lies that we tell ourselves or that the world tells us, they're just lies. And so we must rid of them and in place of them, speak truth. We can start with those truths that we had last week about refuge and strength and God is the light and salvation. But what about truths about who we are? That truth that probably many of us know. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." You are loved. You're not rejected. You're loved. And not loved because of what you've done or what you've not done. Because of what you achieved or where you've been or how much education you have. Just loved because of who you are. Because you're you. And Romans 5:8 even tells us he even loved us while we were yet sinners. When you start having these feelings of failure and loneliness and insignificance, remind yourself of who God is and then who you are loved. You may want to follow it up with words like these found in Psalm 139. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's wounds. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The messages of incompetence, the fear of failure because you might not have what it takes, feeling inadequate, they need to go and instead replace it with this truth. "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Can you say that? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who you are. God knew exactly what he was doing when he formed you in your mother's womb. So you are exactly who you need to be. You are exactly who you are supposed to be. He knows our backgrounds. He knows our experiences. He knows our race and our gender. He knows our health conditions. He knows our strengths. He knows our growing edges. He knows what we are able to do, and he knows what we've never even tried to do before. So if he asks us to do something, maybe if he stirs within you to mentor at a school or volunteer at Talbot House or serve on a committee here at church, join the prayer team, start working in the clothes closet, maybe just start a new ministry that hasn't even been thought up before. Know that he's aware of it all, of who you are and what it would take to do what he's asking you to do and where he's leading you to go. But maybe more importantly than that, he knows who he is and what he is able to do and what he's able to do through you and with you. We can turn to truths like this found in Psalm 86:15. "But you, O Lord, are a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithful." Because of his love for you, he has been and he is and he will be faithful to you. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion." So we don't have to be confident in ourselves, but confident in God. God who began a good work in each of us, continuing that good work, continuing to create in us and mold us and make us and shape us into who he's called us to be. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We weren't created to sit and worry and fear, but to take part in these good works with God so that the world will know, so that the world will know that they are loved, that they don't have to worry, that they don't have to live in fear, Fear of external things going on or the messages that are going on within them internally. So we take part in it with God because God is with us. We can think back and look back at the life of Joshua, who was given a task far beyond his own ability to lead the people into the promised land and to take it as their own. And he was leading them across these lines and into a place that was unknown to this large mass, this group of people. He had been there before. He had been there with 11 others. 10 of which came back and said, "No way. We are like grasshoppers to the people in that land who are enormous and they're fortified cities, and there is absolutely no way that that land could ever become ours." Joshua and Caleb said, but the Lord said he was giving it to us. So here Joshua is given this task to lead the people into the promised land. It could be a task that would cause him to feel alone, that could cause him to fear the failure that might be before him, the failure that others are thinking is going to happen. But instead, he called upon the promises of God, a God who said to him, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors I would give them. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous." And that promise is a promise that continues for us today. As God was with Moses, with Joshua, with Daniel and David, with Esther and Ruth and Peter and Mary and Lydia and Paul, he will be with you. He did not leave them and forsake them. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, you do not have to fear. You do not have to fear failure, loneliness, and significance. Instead, we get to be strong and courageous. For God has given you everything that you need. God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. There is a hope, he says, and a future. As the title of our sermon series says, we live in uncertain times. There is one thing, though, in the uncertainty that we can be certain of, and that is God. God loves us. And out of a love, he sent his son to redeem us, to restore us, to renew us, to give us life, life abundant to the fullest, he says. So do not be afraid. With God, we can live with courage and hope, even in the midst of, because he's with us. His spirit is with us. And one thing that has been highlighted for me in the recent days is how present he is with us through one another and through community. God has set us up, you see, not to live alone. That was not his desire or intent. But he has given us one another. He has set us up in a church, in a body of Christ, to know of his presence and to live into the community that he's given to us, to live in courage and hope with and for one another and for the world. So along with turning to his word for that response, for those promises that we need, we turn to one another. And I found such great courage and hope in recent past because of community and being with other people. Last Saturday, we took part in our POV, and we sat around tables sharing in our views, sharing in our thoughts and our ideas, supporting one another, encouraging one another, and stating to one another, we're in this together. POV, point of view. So even if we come at something with a different point of view, we still love each other and care for each other and say, we are the body together. On Sunday nights, I've been having the opportunity to have discussions about racism with people in our church family. And again, around tables, having deep conversations, hearing each other's stories, getting to know each other on a more intimate level. On Wednesday nights, I've been enjoying the groups that we've gathered together to discuss the stories we live, that book that we've been studying together. And getting to know people more than just the name that's on their name tag that they wear on Sunday mornings, right? But really hearing their stories and their callings, their past and their present and their hopes for the future. Every week on Thursday at noontime, I meet together with five other people in a Wesley class meeting where we ask each other, how's your life with God? How are things going? It's these groups, these times of relationship and conversation that God has given us one another so that we don't live life alone, so that we can know his presence more dearly and even more clearly. We can intentionally open ourselves up to his work in our lives. So that in the midst of it, we say goodbye, we get rid of fear, and hello to courage and hope. Hello to possibilities that God has in our world. In the early church, told about in the book of Acts, we read about how they met together daily in the temple, how they ate together, they prayed together, they praised God together. This was vital so that they could be the church that God was calling them to be in the midst of their world, courageous and full of hope in another time of history which was very uncertain. Jesus had done this with them. He had modeled this kind of community living with them and asking them to put it into practice. And we too have that opportunity to put it into practice, being together, being God's presence to one another. Fear will continue to confront us. That's reality. Fear from the world, those external things that will come at us, or fear from within, our own fears and worries and anxieties. We have the choice. We have the opportunity to live an alternative way, to live instead with courage and hope. So the question for us today is, how will you live? Will you live in fear of failure and loneliness and incompetence? Or will you live in faith? In faith of a God who says, I created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Faith of a God who says that you are loved so much so that he sent his one and only son for you. Faith in a God who not only loves you, but in that truth, he loves the world. Will you pray with me? Lord God, you have opened your word to us in this time of worship, for us to be in relationship with you and with one another. So we thank you. We thank you for how you will continue to show us the truths, your truth. Lord, I pray in thanksgiving for each and every person here and how you have brought us together to be a community, to be in relationship with one another, to strengthen one another so that we do not have to fear, to encourage one another, so that we can indeed live the life abundant with courage and hope. Lord, I pray for each person here. I pray for those especially that need someone in their life, for those that do not have that community. I pray that you would open doors for relationship and community in their lives. And that in those times, those places and spaces, we would experience you in a mighty way. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come, that your work may be done in our lives, in the life of the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to share with you before we go another part of that Psalm 139. That psalm that said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And these words, that I know that I find great comfort in those moments when fear tries to overwhelm, right? Let it not overwhelm, but instead turn to God's scripture. So hear these words. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. No matter where you go in life, he is there. So as we go from this place, a place where you can feel his presence, right? It's tangible here in this place as we worship and pray and hear his word. But sometimes it doesn't take long, but after we exit the doors and the fear comes, the doubts rise, the life hits us. Remember this truth. There's nowhere that you can go from his spirit, nowhere that you can go from his love. So we go. We go together in his grace and his mercy, his peace. We go in his love, with his love. You are loved. Amen.